Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Speaking of kicking tail, that's what my LSU Tigers did.
Here we go.
Chris, I'm a Pelican, Rob. How many times do I have to tell you?
Unbelievable.
I was born in Louisiana.
You told me about Iowa, Cleveland, all that.
All my family is in Louisiana. I'm serious. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents.
He had a
Broussard is like Johnson or Smith down in Louisiana.
He had a bowl of dirty rice and a Fresca, and now he thinks he's from Louisiana.
Every Christmas, we get authentic, real gumbo. We make beignet, crawfish etouffee, jambalaya, boudin, all of it.
Gesundheit.
I am a Louisiana boy, and today I am a champion. That's right.
Did he set this up?
That is absolutely right, Rob. God. Sing with it. Groove with me, Rob.
I can't do it.
Move to it right now.
Go ahead. This is all you.
Yeah, boy, the LSU Tigers. Congratulations to Ed Ogeron.
I'm a reporter. I don't root for teams.
That's
so
fine.
That's just fine. I'm a reporter.
I've been that.
I'm not a big fanboy. You know,
Oh, really?
I picked them to win. I'm happy about that, but I'm not all in.
You were a fanboy yesterday for your boy Aaron Rodgers.
No, I wasn't.
But we'll get to that later.
No, I wasn't.
We'll get to that later.
You say that every day. You bring up Aaron Rodgers every day. You have an obsession with him.
No, because you do.
No, I didn't.
Can we get to the man of the hour?
Go ahead.
And that's Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, Rob Parker, was outstanding. And you, it's not an argument because you agree with me.
I picked him to win.
He completed the greatest season ever for a college quarterback. We agree on that?
Yes. I don't have any issues with it. It was unbelievable. And in the playoff, in the postseason, he completed 70% of his passes and had more touchdowns than the, what was it? Was it the Big Ten or whatever?
He has more touchdowns.
Than the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
Here it is. He had more touchdowns
crazy.
In two playoff games this year, 14. Then the Big Ten has scored total. In total, they've got 13 touchdowns in their playoff history.
That's what I'm saying.
The Pac-12 has 12 or 11 in their playoff history.
Absolutely ridiculous. And he had 14.
Now, the question is, obviously, he's going to be in the draft, and it looks like the top pick. Some people don't think he should be. They think maybe Tua should be the first pick. Cincinnati has it.
With Cincinnati in the history of that franchise, you just can't take a chance to me on Tua with an injury. I'm sorry. If everything was fine and he was healthy, then maybe I might take a different look at it, Chris. But I just can't. You've had so much bad luck, and the last thing you need to do is go take a guy who got hurt twice, right?
Right.
And then he comes to Cincinnati and what? I'm just saying, a guy who just had the best college football season for a quarterback ever, and maybe other than Barry Sanders' year, right, maybe the greatest offensive output of anybody, because Barry Sanders didn't win the championship when he had the 2,600 yards. So so you're going to pass on that guy? I'm sorry. I can't pass on him. And he could be a bust and it not work out, but I'm not going to overlook what the guy just did.
I'm with you. I mean,
can't do it.
And you brought up a good point because people are talking about the injury with Tua. No, it's not the injury. And I'm not trying to say
neither am I
that he's broken down and all that, but he's been injury prone in college. So I pray that he'll have a healthy NFL career, but you can't overlook the fact that in college he was somewhat injury prone.
What did we just see with the Pelicans? Now, I'm not with Zion and Chris. Zion could be fine or whatever. He had a history. So you could go, oh wow, this is what bad luck. No,
right.
You said it before. We talked about it. He had three injuries going back to high school and two in college. So don't act like you're surprised. And I'm not saying that should make you not want to take him, but don't when you look at people and people, some people get hurt and some people don't get hurt. That, right. Those are just facts.
No, I'm with you. You have to go with Joe Burrow. What didn't he show you? What I like too, Rob, is that we saw him in a pro-style offense. We saw him in the New Orleans Saints offense. That's what LSU ran into.
You could go there, and if you want to nitpick and tell me he doesn't do this and tell me do that, that's all fine. Against the best competition on college football, right?
Seven top 10 teams they played.
Period. End of story. He didn't. It's like everybody.
Three top five teams.
It's like Rob G, who bought into Clemson because of their history that they had won two of three, right? But when you look at this past year, they hadn't beaten anybody. I think they beat one team, right? They beat Ohio State. That was it.
Yep.
All the rest were, they didn't beat anybody. So when push came to shove, the team that won against all the good teams, they won. And I wasn't surprised.
Well, Rob, to your point, Joe Burrow, his last three games, Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson. He completed 70% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, no picks, 97.8 QBR, and throwing 120 rushing yards and two TDs for good measure. And that's not even counting the nearly 400 yards and three touchdowns he had against Alabama.
And, Chris, you going to talk yourself out of picking that guy?
Nah. You you got to go with
Cincinnati, I know they make a lot of mistakes, but they can't make
and
that one.
Now, there are a lot of people have thrown out comps and who they think he's like. You know, we're not claiming to be quarterback gurus.
And we're not former NFL players or coaches, so that's not where we're coming from.
Our guy, Joel Klatt, our colleague here at Fox, he compared him to Joe Montana coming out of college. Now that, and obviously, we're not, when we throw out these names, we're not saying he's going to be as good as
now,
Joe Montana
was
arguably the GOAT.
Right, but wasn't he a fourth round pick out of Notre
Dame?
Third round. Okay,
yep.
So this kid, well, you know, when you
he's
hear that,
be the top pick.
He's going to be the top pick. I don't know how you could really
stylistically, and you know, Rob G gave us a few names, a B minus Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I don't know what that is, but a B minus Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
Is his arm as strong as Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers has a way stronger
arm. And then what was your other?
The perfect version of Baker Mayfield.
How?
Because Baker Mayfield is accurate. He has a lot of swagger.
There's a lot of quarterbacks who are accurate.
He has a lot of swagger. He can move around a little bit.
But he ain't a jerk.
He's nothing
but
like
exactly. So
I don't see Baker at all.
Well,
I don't.
Here's the reason why I say Baker. Now, Baker has some tendencies that go way a little too far. I'm not going to deny that. Joe Burrow, after the game, is smoking a victory cigar with a hat that says well-endowed Joe on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You can't fit that on a hat. That's not what it said.
So stuff like that. So he has like that version of swag.
But he doesn't do – I think a lot – you don't think Jameis Winston had that?
Right. That's why I'm saying he's the ideal version
of
what people –
A lot of quarterbacks do that behind in the locker room.
He's what people hoped Baker Mayfield was when they tried to classify him.
Okay,
hey, this is what made him
leader.
Number one.
Rob G.
And Joe Burrow's four inches taller.
I mean, come on.
Oh, Rob, he doesn't play like Manziel.
You think he plays like Baker?
Baker at Oklahoma played a lot like that. Throwing the ball over the field.
I'm going to throw this out.
And you know what? You made a mistake. That hat said Rob Parker Joe.
I'm going to, moving on, Craig Melvin's like, yeah, good joke. Anyway, I'm going to compare him a little bit to Tom Brady. And here's why. And obviously, Rob, Tom Brady's sixth-round pick. This guy's going to be the number one pick.
You didn't have a lot of success at Michigan.
Yeah, I mean,
he was just okay.
They were highly ranked.
But
they did all right. But, yeah, he wasn't lighting it up, obviously. But my point is this. A year ago, nobody even had Joe Burrow on their draft radar. So in that regard,
he was sitting on the bench at Ohio State.
Right. In that regard, he was kind of like Brady, a late bloomer. That's what I mean, a late bloomer. Not the strongest arm, but certainly strong enough. Tom Brady throws an outstanding deep ball. I mean, some of those passes yesterday, he placed right in stride to these receivers. And he is incredibly competitive. I love his competitiveness, his toughness. You know, it's understated. Like, you might not think he's all that competitive like Brady, but it does come out and you see it. And he has what I think are the intangibles. He clearly was the leader of that team. Steps in,
a few months ago and automatically becomes the leader on a team laden with NFL talent. So that's why I kind of look at him, not that he's going to be Joe or Tom Brady, but I kind of see some comparisons there.
I don't know. I guess to a certain extent. What did he have last year, numbers-wise?
He didn't do anything.
Right?
I mean, he's never started. That's one knock that people have.
I'm saying when he played, though, 58%. 16 touchdowns and 5 picks. So he was just okay. You know what I mean? But some people blossom later, and maybe it all came together, and you get your confidence. And, you know, if you're playing sports, you feel good and things get off to a good start, and all of a sudden you could grow into it. But, Chris, it'll be interesting. And, you know, some people are also already telling him he shouldn't go to Cincinnati and he should – say he don't want to play for that organization or whatever. I'm not with that.
And he's from Ohio. I don't see him turning down.
I mean,
the
a chance to go there, and then it's a low ceiling. Like
a challenge.
It's a challenge that you could be the guy to bring back the organization, and they haven't won. You know, they went to the Super Bowl a couple times. Oh, not like they've been dogs.
They haven't been a horrible franchise.
No, not at all.
And Marvin Lewis was getting them to the playoffs.
He was there long enough that they lost 7 playoff games. Remember, he was 0-7.
So there it is, 7 years in the playoffs.
So he might be able to get there and get them to win a game or something. So I don't – this whole talk about not going to Cincinnati, I'm not with that.
No, I'm with you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Baseball is still
hogging
in the headlines,
it, I know.
Not for the good reasons, of course.
Well,
but,
yeah, bad stuff, all bad stuff.
Yeah.
The last 2 days, Chris, big stories. And the Red Sox didn't even wait for Major League Baseball because the Astros waited.
Good for them.
Right?
Good for them. I'm not going to praise them for doing it, but good for them. They did the right thing, firing or as they're putting mutually parting ways.
They fired Alex Cora. They're being nice when you say that. Oh, yeah. No, Alex Cora had a contract making bank. He didn't just give up the job for no reason.
Right.
He got fired.
Great team. You're at a World Series, coming off a disappointing season. You know you want to get back and win it. He got fired.
Right.
And I'm going to say one thing to Alex. Hopefully he's listening. I don't know if he is or not. But Alex.
What's up, dude?
Apologize.
That is weird that that's not in the statement. Now, I would say this, Chris. I've talked to Alex Cora. You know what I mean? Like, I got a little rapport. I'm not saying that I know him, so I'm not. But you know what I mean? Like, I've had conversations with him, been around him a little bit, and he's a baseball lifer. Everybody loves that guy. This is bad. There's no way of looking around this. Like now you're branded. And the worst part for Alex, unlike A.J. Hinch, is you took that and brought it to Boston. Like, that's the – So
right.
Do you know what
so
I mean?
So you're kind of seen as the ringleader.
You could have been like, yeah, we did that in Houston. I finally got my job as a manager. I'm not doing that here. Could have been, right?
But some people, I mean, I think he played a prominent role in Houston.
Oh, right. But I'm just saying.
You could have been.
He could have cleaned
up,
man.
He apparently went in there, hey, it worked in
Houston.
Right,
that's what I'm saying.
And we didn't get caught, you know. We're going to do it here.
We won a World Series, and now we come in Boston. And now if you're a Red Sox fan, you're like, 2018, it was fraudulent.
And it was your best season ever.
It was the best season in the history of the Red Sox. Everybody mashing the ball. They won a World Series. Do you know who they beat that year, Chris? The Red Sox. Remember, they beat the Yankees in the playoffs, and they beat who else did they steamroll? The Dodgers. They beat like the two best teams. Easily. Chris, easily.
Yep. No, it's bad, as you said. And you know who else is chiming in? Pete Rose.
No, Pete.
Pete Rose.
Why?
I'm a big, look, I told you.
You're Pete Rose
fan.
I grew
up in Cincinnati.
Charlie,
I remember going.
I thought you're from New Orleans. I mean, from Louisiana.
There, but we moved to Cincinnati. All right? Quick story. My grandfather had to get out of the South. He said he went one.
He couldn't do it.
He said he went to the one city above the Mason-Dixon line, and it was Cincinnati, Ohio. That's how my family. He was in World War II, and he met black soldiers from the North in the war, and they said, brother, you got to get out of the South.
What are you doing down there?
Get your family up. up into the north, and that's what he did. So anyway, I grew up in Cincinnati as a kid, and we used to go to the Big Red Machine games. You know, sometimes doubleheaders. No, you're sitting through a doubleheader.
Which you can't even imagine now.
Oh, no.
We used to go to the ballpark, seriously. But remember, every game wasn't on TV. Every game didn't take 4 hours. Back then, the games were a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't on TV, so you might go to a doubleheader, and it would be 6 hours.
Right.
For two games. Yep. Am I right?
But a baseball game in person is great.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. And Pete Rose was phenomenal. And
yeah, Joe Morgan and all Johnny Bench.
Tony Perez. They were great.
Ken Griffey.
George
Senior?
Foster.
Right.
Uh-huh. All those guys. But anyway, we know, of course, what has happened to Pete Rose. And Pete weighed in. He spoke to NJ.com. That's the paper in New Jersey.
Yep. Is that the Star Ledger?
New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the Newark Star Ledger. And he said a lot. He thinks that what these guys did in the cheating is worse than what he did. Here's what Pete said. I bet on my own team to win. That's what I did in a nutshell. I was wrong, but I didn't taint the game. I didn't try to steal any games. I never voted against my team. I bet on my team every night because that's the confidence that I had in my players. And I was wrong. But this, the Astros situation, is a little different. It's a lot different, actually. And I think that's why the commissioner came down so hard. So what do you think, Rob?
No way, no how am I buying Pete Rose. No. And Chris, first of all, as a gambler, right? Don't tell me if some Cy Young Award winner was coming in and you got your best hitter wasn't playing tonight and you think to yourself, you know what I mean? Or we're scuffling and like the best pitcher in the league is going to pitch against us tonight.
So that I don't
buy that he only bet. That's his excuse.
But what's out there is that he only bet on his team.
I don't.
Right?
I still.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but that's,
I still don't believe that. If you're a real gambler.
Is that something like in baseball circles, do people think – he did bet on
his
team?
Yes,
bet against his team?
Yes, I don't believe that. Like, as a gambler, I'm not saying. Yeah, I don't believe that. But here's the other part. Here's what I've always said that people, when they make that argument for Pete Rose, here's how he can affect the game even if he bets on his own team. There's a doubleheader coming up tomorrow or, you know what I mean, or makeup
or
game.
Or another game. Whatever,
right? Or whatever. I got a big bet on tonight's game, Chris. I blow out my bullpen because I'm trying to win tonight. I got money on the game tonight. What about tomorrow? I've used my pitchers who I need for tomorrow because I'm trying to win. Have I affected the game tomorrow?
Yes, yes.
So there's why the integrity when you have money on the game, you
even
can affect it even if you're betting on your own team. And when you, Chris, you covered baseball. What year did you cover the Indians when they went to the World Series?
95, yep.
So you cover baseball. When you walk into a Major League Baseball clubhouse, there's nothing bigger than the sign on the wall about what? Gambling.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep.
It says if you gamble, you'll be banned for life. It's right there. It's big as day. That is the biggest sign in that clubhouse because once you mess with the integrity of the game, Chris. You don't have a game.
No, I hear you, Rob, and you're making great points. I think that let's assume, just because that's all that's proven, let's assume that he only bet on his team to win. Then I think what's bad about this is the association with gambling, with gamblers. I mean, what if you're losing? Now you got guys who you owe money to, who now can come to you and now they can threaten you. Look, you owe us this much money. We need you to lose. You know what I mean? So that's where I think baseball is like, look, even if you only bet on your own team,
you
put yourself in harm's way to say the least.
All you got to do.
And you put the game in harm's way.
How about
way
if they say we
that.
Need you to go 0-for-4 tonight? You're the big guy, right?
Well, we're talking about a manager, of course, but I'm just saying,
even when he was playing, I mean, or in a situation. So I do get that.
I just think anything in pro sports that's affiliated with gambling, point shaving, all of that stuff, that is going to be worse. That said, I get where Pete Rose is coming from in that look. I did not, according to him, I bet on my team to win. That's all that's proven. You know,
they have all the betting slips. I'm looking for a story because I don't
so
believe that.
He can say, like, these guys actually cheated during the game.
All right, here's my pushback to Pete Rose and to that. Is that if it was by knowing what pitch was coming, that it was like this a magical elixir, how did they lose any games?
Well, it's still hard. Even if I know you're throwing a fastball
but that's
at
97 my point.
Miles an hour.
Even
but,
if I know it doesn't mean automatically I'm going to be able to hit it and still win the game.
But here's the difference,
and I'm not trying to excuse it, Chris. All I'm saying is that's why you're hard-pressed to take away a championship.
No, I disagree with that.
See, I don't.
Because here's the thing. We're talking about world-class athletes. I bring this up all the time. The difference between first place, a championship, and not even making the playoffs is minute in terms of talent. The difference between winning the 100-meter dash and the gold medal and finishing out of the medals is like 2/3 of a second. And so if I have just a slight advantage, that can be the difference between me winning and me losing. I mean, we're talking about the absolute best athletes in the world. So, yeah, okay, I might, instead of, you know, going 1-for-4, maybe I go 2-for-5, you know, or 2-for-4. That extra hit made all the difference. And obviously, I'm not going to hit it every time, even if I know it's a curveball coming or a fastball coming.
It ain't that. You might hit it at somebody.
It's still not easy. But I've said it. I think they should have vacated the title because that takes away all of the incentive for an organization to cheat. Does it not?
But I think there's
because why am I cheating if I might lose it? I want to win a World Series.
I understand why
I might lose a World. The players still will have incentive.
I understand
because they want the numbers, the big contract, and all that.
I get
but
that.
For an organization, no.
Yeah, I've never been big into that when they try to tell me or they tell the Fab Five to take down their banners and Reggie Bush, give me back this and all that. I've just never been into, like, what I saw and what we witnessed. It's already tainted in people's minds, right? Whether you take it back or not, you now look at the Astros. You look at that organization the same way. Remember
well,
that?
Not
three?
Now.
You don't.
What about 30 years from now? What about the people
they'll
that
remember
come
that.
After us?
That'll be all.
It won't be as big of a deal.
All that stuff will be in the Baseball Hall of Fame forever, like history. Like Pete Rose is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. All of his stats are. All of his trophies, they're there.
Right.
But also, what the negative thing that happened in the gambling. So, I just think. This is like,
you know,
this is typical Pete Rose,
said,
though.
You know what else he said?
What?
He said this, which I don't even agree with him on this, but he said that the only signs he would take, because, you know, both you and I agree, if it's organic, if it's on the field and I'm on second base.
And I can see that, and
the
catcher's lazy, right?
He doesn't, I see his signals.
He doesn't cover his fingers, right?
Yeah, I know a curveball's coming, whatever, and I tell my batter, that's fine.
That's part of the game. If I could relay to you, I could see the catcher didn't cover up his fingers. He was, for whatever reason, he was lazy. And I saw the two down, I said, like, and I'm telling my guy at the plate.
Yep.
And I could somehow touch my helmet, that's a two coming,
that's
a deuce.
Really, that's really no different than what all the NFL quarterbacks do, and college for that matter, nowadays. They're pointing out blitz coming.
Right, I see
them.
Pointing
out the coverages.
Right.
It's no different, really. Okay, so, but Pete Rose said he would not even take the signs from a player, a teammate who was at second base.
I don't believe that.
He said he'd take him for the third base coach if he was trying to steal or whatever, suicide squeeze. But he said he would never take him from the – well, he said he didn't want to because if you're wrong.
Right.
What if you're wrong? You're not going to be – and that's one thing I'd like to see. I don't know if they mentioned it in the report and I missed it. But what was the accuracy rate on – the calls that they were making?
I don't know.
Were they right 90%
yeah,
of the time? Were they
know.
Right 50% of the time? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I it's hard for me to believe you were right all of the time.
But there were was it Rich Hill with the Dodgers who changed
yes.
the thing every inning?
Yes.
Every inning
but
he would have
why?
But because he but he
because there's cheaters in baseball.
Because he felt like something was going
right.
on, so he changed them every inning, which says a lot that they thought something was happening.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's a legendary broadcaster right here at Fox Sports. It's great to have him in. Chris Myers. Chris, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on with you guys again. Hope things are going well.
Yes, everything's going well.
Oh, yeah, so much news.
Right. Now you worked the sidelines, of course, for the Packers-Seahawks game, but we want to get to baseball before we go to the NFL with you, because obviously you cover that as well. Do you think that Major League Baseball got it right with the punishments of the Houston Astros? Because there was a story in ESPN.com today. Jeff Passan does a great job covering the league. He said there's a strong sentiment throughout the league that the owner got off too easy and that justice wasn't totally served.
Yeah, and that's what I think part of it is Major League Baseball, and I'm glad that they took after they didn't overreact. They researched, and the information that they found out, we believe that is accurate, how far and deep it runs. And I covered postseason baseball for Fox quite a bit, and I'm really shocked. I mean, I know the old stealing signs bit has gone on for a while, but to purposely use an alter electronic equipment
yes.
to buy and have a signal. So way out of line. I'm with you. The punishment, swift, severe. I guess at this point, this isn't college athletics. You can't take a win away or a World Series away, but it's so unfair to the teams and the careers of players who were affected by this. I'm amazed that it was able to go on as long as it has gone on, if that part is accurate. So, yes, I think not only – and I give the owner of the Astros credit for swiftly. I don't know that he would be aware of it at that level, but certainly a general manager, a players, coaches down the line, and then the Cora news, and obviously you knew that was going to happen when you found out, again, if that report is accurate, that he was one of the masterminds, because that helped his team and it helped him get a managerial job when they say mutually agreed to part ways. I know some people talk about a lifetime ban and the fact that we're keeping Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball, then that's a legitimate argument at this point.
You saw Pete Rose came out and
his comments.
What he did wasn't as bad as what these
what he
guys,
did was
do
bad.
Do you agree with him?
No, absolutely. What he did, look, what he did was against the rules, and it was clear. But to alter, to actually cheat within the game on the field, I mean, this is unbelievable that the Patriots certainly have been accused of such, but we don't have some of the evidence
right.
that we've seen in this case. But, yes, how far does it go up the ladder? Now, if the ownership knew about it, and that would have to be proved to me, because I know owners are active and they're involved, but I don't think
it's a lot of it.
Yeah, you don't know if they really know that there's a camera attached and you know and all that. Chris, here's the other thing I did want to say. When I say that if I'm the Mets, I would fire Carlos Beltran. I'm serious. Even though he hasn't managed yet, he was a fan favorite in New York, but he was involved in this. In the report that he was a big part of what has gone down, do you want your organization to be caught up in that?
Absolutely, no. And I think anybody, and again, that you read through, anybody that was involved, now it's one thing for somebody to be aware of it and not report it. You know how locker rooms are.
Right.
You don't rat out people, and obviously if they're not breaking the law or somebody's not in danger. But yes, if somebody was involved in it, like Cora or the – even just the banging the garbage can with the bat, I mean, the signaling, I mean, any of that, then, yes, you should be out of baseball. And it shouldn't be up to a team. Major League Baseball should tell the team, look, these guys either suspended to the degree, they have to have some format, or you're out of the game for a while until you prove you're not going to do this type of thing. And even then, I don't know what the public sentiment is. I got to tell you already, just people I've run into, and I haven't had a chance with a lot of baseball people, but they're so down on the Astros and Cora.
Yes.
Just, it like wipes them totally off the board. Nobody even giving them credit for any kind of wins. And it's unfair to some of the guys
right.
who may have you know, weren't associated with this, but that's the way it goes when you are associated or at least linked to guys who break the rules knowingly.
Fox Sports broadcaster Chris Myers joining the Odd Couple. As I said, you're on the sidelines for the Packers-Seahawks game. You'll be there this weekend for the Packers-49ers. A lot of people aren't giving the Packers much of a chance in this game. Chris, how do you see it?
No, I give them a great chance. And look, I know that earlier meeting was lopsided between the two teams, and Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, got blown out. A lot of that was guys having a good time out on the West Coast when they got out of Green Bay. So, but Rodgers still carries, you know, that chip on his shoulder not being drafted by the 49ers, even though he's a Northern California guy, went to Cal. And he brings, you saw him in the clutch. People are a little down on his numbers this year, but Matt LaFleur is from the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan school of, you know, great running game, and it makes Aaron Rodgers that much greater to be able to relax and run the controls the way he wants. They've worked well together. I don't know. I think I saw seven is enough. That's a high number for me. This is a 3-point game. If it goes either way, I'm leaning 49ers because I think they have the better defense. But the Green Bay defense, since that loss to San Francisco, the team hadn't lost. I mean, you look at what they've done to teams defensively and the pressure on the quarterback with Smith and Smith on each side. And they've been very, very impressive. And look, Seattle, they played a lot of close games. They battled hard. Russell Wilson on that sideline, I got to tell you, he never lost his edge. But there were some other guys, in fairness to them. They were down to, you know, you already know the running back situation. But second and third string linemen on offense, defense, that just weren't up to the task. It was cold. And the Packer crowd was into it. And Rodgers, I do think at the end of that game, right, if I could just step, that I would not have punted even on 4th and 11. Pete Carroll defended that because on 3rd and 5, I wouldn't have given the ball back even with timeouts, 3 minutes to Rodgers on the road. I got Russell Wilson. I'm going to roll with him even if I miss and we hold him to a field goal.
You know what?
That's
I agree
a good
with
point.
You on that.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
But here's the other thing too. In talking about obviously the Packers were 9 for 13 on third down, but Aaron Rodgers had some beautiful balls on the third down plays. That 3rd and 9, he did, didn't he, Chris?
Yes, he was so accurate in some very tough throws. So it's not like Seattle was leaving some of those guys wide open, but I do think Seattle should have gone in with a better plan with Davante Adams. He's the one guy who can burn you and beat you. Make Jimmy Graham, some of these other guys, Mercedes Lewis or Lazard, make those guys beat you. They did a good job on Jones in the running game. But they should have, even at halftime, Pete Carroll said, we're going to make some adjustment. Well, they didn't make enough of an adjustment on Davante Adams, who was outstanding. And obviously that was the most reliable guy that Rodgers got to go to. So it was a good pass. Seattle, look, they overachieved this year, just like the Packers have. But in your original question, yes, I think they've been. And Aaron Rodgers told us that in our production. But he said, look, we like being under the radar. And I think they put the quote up in the Fox broadcast. It's not that we're looking for a lot of credit, but people for 13-3, they keep acting like, you know, it's all about the Niners or the Seahawks or the Saints. And so he likes that role, and I think the Packer team does too. But how their secondary holds up, this is interesting with Garoppolo too, because I know he's got playoff experience watching Brady, but he's going to have to step up like he has in some tough situations in this game for the 49ers to win. But their defensive line is the key, and I think they're the better defense, and they're at home.
The good news for you, Chris, is that you won't be outside in Green Bay again this weekend. It'll be San Francisco. I know it's probably chilly up there, but not like Green Bay.
No, not like when they say 20 degrees, that's Green Bay 20, the ground, even with the field. I was freezing, and I don't like wearing a hat because it messes up my hair, you know, when you're on TV.
Right.
But I had to. They said keep your head warm. I had hand warmers. I had more layers than a wedding cake. I was freezing. I was fighting. I was fighting some of the special teams guys for their heater on the bench to get a little bit of that. But I actually caught a cold on the way back.
Oh, wow.
Troy Aikman, but that's the reality. So when you play, that's home field advantage for the Packers. But we should have a great matchup in this one, and obviously whoever goes out of the Super Bowl, they're getting the best from the NFC. But yeah, I'm excited about this game. I think there'll be a lot of cool elements, and of course, Matt LaFleur has his younger brother on the 49er team. He's the passing coordinator.
Right.
So, and they had even talked a little before, but he even said, I want to give him too much. You know, he didn't want to give me too much with Seattle because we might play each other, and now they are. So that should make for another strategic approach from the two sides.
Yes, it'll be interesting indeed.
Hey, Chris
Myers,
thank you, man.
Thanks a lot, brother.
The
we appreciate
baseball
it.
And football, both
yes,
strong, man.
Double
appreciate
duty.
You.
All right, anytime. You guys are great. I'll see you later.